950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show at 3:05 on your Tuesday. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We've got two major stories to get to today. One kind of intertwining the other one, obviously, the Mohamed Nour story about him turning himself in. Real quickly, I did want to make sure I mentioned this, you know, first of all, because we're going to get into a lot of depressing stuff here. It's Free Ice Cream Day. Isn't it Free Ice Cream Day today? I believe it is.
Where?
Is it Dairy Queen or something like that? Was it the first day of spring?
Oh, I'll take them up on it if it is.
Search that before we say this. I don't want to see if you take a look at DQ, see if that is the case, because the interest peaked within Hunter is pretty astounding.
It is free ice cream at Dairy Queen.
For today?
Yep. All today, right. Free ice cream, doesn't free soft serve cone.
A free soft serve cone. You might need that at the end of the, you know, just even if it's a little snowy out there, it's a little wintry as we get the first day of spring. And I'm presuming that's why it is. It's the first day of spring today. So you want a good positive? You want another positive?
Yeah.
Another positive. I think it was on the 15th. We actually broke the barrier to where now we have more sunshine during the day than night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we actually do it a few days before the spring equinox. It basically, because we're adding 3 minutes on in the morning, 3 minutes on in the evening, pretty much every sunrise, sunset for a while here. What ends up happening is we get to a point where we have more sunlight than we have nighttime, which is a nice thing. That's nice. Nice grip there. We got a lot to get to. 952-946-6205. Briefly in sports, just to, because I wanted this, Lucia stepping down. You see that?
No, I didn't.
Head coach of the Gophers after this season. Now I want to get Lucia some break. I want to give him a little bit of a break, because the minute that the Gophers left the WCHA and joined the cruddy Big Ten Conference, the first thing I said is, we are going to suck for years. And the reason why is that you play down to your competition. And the Big Ten Conference, well, they're not really that good. And they really aren't. And I don't know how in the world you gave them three teams in the tournament. They are really a subpar conference. I would not make them a Division I conference. And so we play down. We lost in the first round of the playoffs to Penn State in the tournament. And, you know, what was once the golden beacon of sports over there at the University of Minnesota is now just we're Iowa State at this point with our hockey program. You know, Lucia did win us two national championships back-to-back, but at the same time, it's been a long time since the glory of that program, and whether that program will come back. I know you can't get out of it. I mean, that's part of the deal with the Big Ten Conference. Once half the teams get a hockey team, then basically you have to create a Big Ten Conference. But, God, yeah, it's not bad. I also say this on the hockey level. I watched a little bit of the Wild and the Kings last night. That team is not going to go past the first round. That just is not that is a team that just does not have the heart to get past the first round. And, of course, we'll get that. Isn't it great we made the playoffs again?
Yeah, it's sad it's stuck in mediocrity.
We'll win the fourth game of the first round. We'll win. We got to win. Oh, boy. It just had to sweep the last four to win. We didn't. We lost the next one after that. Ugh. We'll lose 4-1 in the first round, and then everyone will be like, isn't it great we've got hockey? Ugh. All right. That's not the depressing part. There is a few things that are pretty darn depressing today, which, it's... It is very hard to keep every day coming in and doing a show where I get to start and lead by kids getting killed in school. But I want to actually start off by asking, if you're like me, I've got kids. I've got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And the other day, I could tell something was bothering two of my kids. I talked to them about it. My 13-year-old said, it's very hard to feel like my life doesn't matter when it comes to Republicans. And she said Republicans. So good luck in those future elections, guys. She goes, she feels as if her life doesn't matter because they refuse to do anything about these guns. And they are, you know, there is a palatable fear within my children, and I think multiple other children as well, over guns in schools. And the idea of, and for them, the insanity keeps continuing when you start saying, oh, teachers with guns, we're just going to give all the teachers guns. I mean, it scares these kids to think that they have to go to the rodeo just to go to school. And it's terrifying. There is a meme out there, and I was trying to check this out before I came on the air. I was trying to check this out, and it seems like this is legit. I mean, the numbers, I can't say this definitively, but it was a meme that came up. Students killed in U.S. schools since 2012. So in the last 6 years, 7,182 kids were killed in schools in this country in 6 years. Troops killed overseas in combat since 2001. So this would include the Iraq War and Afghanistan, 6,915. More kids in 6 years have been killed in U.S. schools than troops have been killed overseas in combat in 17 years. That's terrifying. And I don't blame them. And I try to tell my kids, well, what do you tell your kids? I try to tell them, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. The reality is, I don't know. The only way you're going to solve this problem is to get these assault weapons out of people's hands, and instead of having common sense, oh, well, my God, yeah, let's make sure people can't buy assault weapons, weapons which were designed to kill human beings as fast as possible. Let's not allow those into the hands of just regular citizens. Hunting weapons, sure. You know, personal defense pistol, if a person decides, fine. But assault weapons, weapons that were designed to kill as many human beings as fast as possible, probably should not be in our masses. And no one seems to be wanting to do anything to stop that. And no, they're not good for hunting. No, I mean, that is the stupid people. You're either a psychopath or a drunk if you're using an assault weapon to hunt. Seriously, you are. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to annihilate any animal you shoot with it, for God's sakes. So either you're doing so just to shoot and kill an animal, which makes you a psychopath, or you're, hey, I'm going to shoot at there. You're either a drunk or a psychopath if you hunt with an assault weapon. Seriously. I don't know what you do. I mean, this is clearly a massive problem. Today we have another shooting, this one in Maryland. Great Mills, Maryland, Tuesday. One student is dead, two other injured. Officials confirmed a 17-year-old male student opened fire using a handgun at about 8 a.m. in the hallway of Great Mills High School, striking a 16-year-old female student, a 14-year-old male student. School's armed resource officer, identified as St. Mary's County Sheriff Deputy Blaine Gaskill, exchanged fire with the shooter. Cameron said Gaskill was non-injured. The three students were transported to local hospitals. The shooter, whom police identified as Austin Wyatt Rollins, died later. The female student remains in the ICU with life-threatening injuries. Male student is in stable condition, according to officials. So, yet here is another case. Now, already conservatives are like, oh, how about the resource officer? Hey, how about that? Let's talk about this shooting, because if anything, this shooting and the reaction here should be your sign that just putting more guns in school is one of the dumbest damn ideas you've ever heard. First of all, let's talk about the school's armed resource officer. Although they keep calling him the resource officer, let's call him what he was. He's a cop. He's a sheriff's deputy. He's gone through arms training. He's gone through weapons training. He has a loaded weapon on his hip. He knows how to use it. This is someone who has gone through extensive training. He's a police officer. He's a county sheriff. This is not just some guy who filled out some paperwork in an office. This was not the NRA's proverbial good guy with a gun. It was a police officer with extensive training. And whereas, And so looking at that, just looking at that really quick. If you feel as if some teacher who's in the middle of teaching trigonometry, who's halfway through writing some problems on the board, on the chalkboard, or on, well, the chalkboard, boy, I just dated myself, the overhead projector, or doing it via their computer screens or whatever they do it today. However they're doing it, the teacher is sitting there and going over a trigonometry class or a geometry class or a Spanish class or a American literature class or band as they sit there and conduct the music, and some kid kicks open the door with a gun and starts firing, I can guarantee you a teacher who's just filled out a piece of paperwork to get a weapon on their hip will not have the reaction time of that police officer. All right? It just will not happen. And whereas you can, I think you can make an argument that, yes, probably this officer, if not for anything else, stopped the guy from getting away and stopped him before any major carnage was able to happen. It sounds like what had happened is Gaskill, the police officer, shot the 17-year-old Austin Wyatt Rollins. Now, what it sounds like is that Rollins then himself turned his gun on himself and fired. He didn't die, though, at the school. He died later at the hospital. But that's from the initial stories I had heard, that's what it sounds like had happened. The officer responds, hears gunfire, pulls his weapon, fires on the shooter, hits the shooter. The shooter turns the gun on himself, does not kill himself immediately, but dies later on at the hospital. There is, as far as reaction time goes, you are looking at luck that the officer was there at the time. And his training kicked in, you know, good job indeed. Indeed. But I want to point out the fact that this was a trained police officer, not some band teacher, not the drama teacher, not an assistant principal. Someone who had training with weapons. Do you think that the regular Joe would have been able to react the same exact way as quickly as they did? Probably not. At least no one else in the school reacted the same way. Here's the other thing which kind of is getting skipped over with this shooting. Even with a police officer right there with a weapon ready to fire, this guy still shot two kids. If there is more proof that more guns in these schools will not solve this problem, it's that right there. There was a police officer right there with a weapon, and he could not stop these two kids from getting killed. Or not killed, shot. They're both of them are alive right now. The shooter is dead, but they were both shot. The reaction time from a trained professional police officer was not fast enough to stop the shooting from beginning. Now, once again, you think that the teacher in advanced bio is going to have a better reaction time than that police officer did? This is, if anything, this entire Maryland case proves this idea of just arming teachers and that's going to solve the problem. No, it just makes Republicans be able to say, it's the teacher's fault that shooting happened. And that's really all they're doing. They're creating a scapegoat by saying it was the teacher's fault. Even with a trained police officer, he could not pull his weapon fast enough to stop two people from getting shot in a school. And if you're implying in some way that this is some sort of grand victory, I'm sure the family member, especially of the girl who's sitting in ICU right now, is not feeling like this was a big win day. I'm pretty sure the police officer probably doesn't feel like this was an overall grand win day. I don't think that there's a lot of pride in having to shoot a kid. The other kid who was shot, who doesn't seem as that his injuries were as severe, I can't imagine he feels like this was his lucky day. And I guarantee you there's a tremendous amount of parents and students at that school who will not sleep for weeks. Weeks! Because they're not looking at this as their lucky day. You got to get the guns out of schools. You got to get the guns out of the hands of people that are intending to use them wrong. I'm sure we'll find some scapegoat of video games or something to blame this on, but the reality is this latest shooting in the epidemic of gun violence in our schools proves that this idea of arming teachers is just dumb because it's not going to keep these kids safe. If a police officer who is sitting 10 feet away from the shooter can't stop him before he shoots two kids, well then what hope is Miss Pickles in advanced math going to have? When she's in the middle of a lecture and someone just starts opening fire on the kids in her classroom. The only reason you're even proposing this, Republicans, is so that you can blame the teachers every time one of these shootings happens. Because God forbid anyone look at the guns and say, dear God, what have we done to our children? What in the hell have we done to our children in this country? We have placed them before a gun. Oh, and it gets worse. When we come on back, committee hearing time in Minnesota. Plus, I'll get Gary in Minneapolis' phone number, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
With spring here, it's time for the annual Easter Brunch Buffet at the Park Tavern. Enjoy Easter ham and slow-roasted beef, eggs benedict, biscuits and gravy, salads, fruit, side, and dessert. Seatings are from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 1st, and reservations are recommended. $20.95 for adults, $14.95 for seniors. Kids are $10.95, 5 and under are free, and don't forget the hour of free bowling with every reservation. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and at parktavern.net, enjoy a wonderful and easy Easter brunch with your family at the Park Tavern.
Unbeatable appliance savings, then save more. Have Warner Stellion's free tax rebate event. Save hundreds on the appliances you want. Warner Stellion has them all at guaranteed low prices. Get exclusive additional savings with our free tax rebate event. Then save even more with free local delivery, basic installation, and appliance recycling, all done by our trusted specialists. These exclusive offers are only available for a very limited time and only at Minnesota's appliance specialists. Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Once again, I do want to mention a stat here that it seems, and once again, I got to verify this. I will verify this. U.S. students killed in schools since 2012. 2012, 7,182. Troops, American troops killed overseas in combat since 2001. It is 6,915 since 2001. We have an epidemic here. And once again, the entire argument of the Republican Party is your kids' lives do not matter. The only thing that matters are the guns. That's the only thing that matters. And I'm repeating that number for a reason. We'll get to that in a second. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gear Bear.
Yeah, man, you know, but there's all out war on teachers and teachers unions. Teachers ain't capable of teaching according to, especially the right wing, and the Democrats are involved in some of that, too. Why would they think they're capable of handling a gun? For Christ's sake, the cops are messing up all the time with guns. Look at that Good Samaritan woman that got killed out there in South of Minneapolis, or Castillo over there. And that deputy didn't do his job job down there.
Well, and Gary, I'm gonna jump in on you here, and the reason why is that we can go a lot of different directions here, but I want to make sure I kind of stay with, and I can see your passion. I'm gonna get to the Muhammad Noor story here in just a little bit, but I want to go to committee, and I think this is the Public Safety Committee. I believe this was. I if I'm wrong on that, by the way, you please correct me. It's not going to be the first time. This committee, they basically, the Democrats put up a vote on the two gun bills. Because once again, we clearly need to do something here to keep kids safe. And so we're trying to put some gun bills into place where we get, background checks and we start preventing bad people from not getting guns. This is a good idea. But of course, the Republicans, they voted out. They voted one guy. Who was it? Keith Frankie. Republican representative. He voted with one of the bills, but still got voted down and tabled. The other bill was unanimous. It got voted down and tabled. Here is, and we're right, Hunter, on this? All right. Here is the, this is the end.
Yeah. How do you people sleep at night?
On our beds.
Representative Considine.
Vote them out. Vote them out.
This meeting is adjourned.
All right. I want to replay that again. Just, well, hold on really quick, Hunter, if you can't hear. But I want to replay this again. Once again, what has just happened is the Republicans, we have a room full of people wanting gun control and gun safety laws installed. They want gun safety as a major issue, and they are there to basically let their voices be heard. The Republicans, once again, pretty much in unison outside of one guy on one vote, but they still, both these bills got tabled again because they don't even want to hear about background checks or anything. And I want to replay this again because you've got to hear there is some dialogue that happens early on in this. Specifically, listen for the comment of the person saying, how do you guys sleep at night? And someone, and I have yet to identify who this person is, but someone screams, in our beds. And I'll get back to that in a second. Let's play this again if we can here, Hunter.
Yeah.
How do you people sleep at night?
On our beds. Representative Considine.
Vote them out. Vote them out. Vote them out. Vote them out. Vote
this meeting is adjourned.
Listen to the snowflakes run. Listen to the snowflakes run. So, a few things about this meeting. First of all, the Republicans, because they had their boo-boo feelings hurt, and this is Johnson, Lomer, Frankie, Grossel, Howe, Lucero, Neuberger, O'Neill, Uggam, and Zirwas. They all basically, they're apparently someone, and this is, there's actually video of this, of someone saying, why are we taking the protesters' signs? They're not violent, they're not rude, they're not disrespectful, but for some reason, the Republicans were having the signs of the protesters in this committee meeting rounded up and taken down. They did not want the signs visible, which, by the way, apparently there is no rules about that. That this was just the Republicans saying, we don't like the signs, so you're going to take them down. Something to that effect. I'm not exactly sure. But they vote this way because the guns are more important than your kids' lives. The guns are more important than your kids' lives. The woman who is there, who is clearly distraught, says, how do you guys sleep at night? And someone, and I want to know if it was a representative, I want to know who that jackass was, screams, in our beds. Now, all right. Me conservative. Me make joke about dead kids and say I sleep good all night. Me funny. You pathetic loser. I want the name of the person who said that in that room. I want the name of the person who is so glib and so gun-worshipping that they basically tried to make a joke about the fact that dead kids do not bother them. Does not bother me. I sleep like a baby at night. I don't care about your dead baby, but I sleep like a baby. My God, how callous and cold is that jerk? I want to find out who that was. I've talked to two people that were in that room. One person thought it was in the crowd. The other person thought it was on the committee. They're not sure. But if it was one of the committee members, I want a name. I want a name. One person who was on this committee, Representative Johnson. That's right. Representative Johnson was on the committee. Now, you might be wondering, why does Representative Johnson sound familiar? He was the guy yesterday we talked about, the Republican from Cambridge, Brian Johnson, who says his emails are 120 to 1 in favor of guns, and he's had 2,000 emails, which mean that he's had basically like 18, you know, gun control emails and 1,982 emails stating that guns are great. Hunter, you have seen the video now, and I'll post the video up online a little bit later on. You've seen the video there. The vast majority of that crowd, was it like Brian Johnson insists, and it's 120 to 1 of fans for guns in that room? It sure seems like his numbers are a little off.
No, absolutely not.
There might be one guy in that room, one guy who is pro-gun guy. I think the numbers are absolutely opposite, which brings me back to Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, I don't think you're telling the truth. I think you're not being truthful. I think you're making up that 120 to 1 number and your 2,000 number. I think, or else you're purposely knowing that your inbox are being flooded by NRA flunkies and you're just going around with it. But I can tell you right now, in that room, the vast majority of people were pro-gun control, not Brian Johnson's buddy. Representative Johnson, you know, seems like your supporters weren't there. But at the end of it, listen to them run away in fear. They're getting voted down. You vote them out and run away. Gavel is closed. Meeting adjourned. Get their signs down. Oh, run away. Hey, if you weren't such jerks and didn't worship guns more than caring about kids living and being alive and not dying in pools of their own blood, well, maybe, just maybe, the public might not be so against you. That is a disgrace. And once again, let me go back to that number. More people have died, more kids have died in schools in America since 2012 than in combat for America overseas since 2001. And they not only voted down this, said that that's a perfectly good idea, that we don't need to do a damn thing to stop that. Not only did they do that, they talked and bragged about how well they sleep at night, knowing that America's kids are being gunned down in their schools. Proud day, Republican Party of Minnesota. Proud day. Bravo. Watch where you step. Could be a lot of blood on the ground, thanks to you guys. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do come back, we'll talk about the Muhammad Noor has turned himself in. Charges have been filed. We'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
It may seem odd to be thinking about air conditioners in Minnesota in March, but it is better than waiting until the middle of July when you can fry a steak on your sidewalk. Fortunately, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $1,000 or more off high-efficiency air conditioners until March 30th. Save money and spend the summer in cool and relaxing comfort. Visit standardheating.com for details and come visit us at the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
I'm Adam Jennings, and I approve this message. Some people say weapons don't kill people, people kill people. But if that were the case, then we wouldn't care if North Korea had nukes, would we? You ever think about that? Let's get real. Each year, gun violence hurts nearly 50,000 Americans, including 4,000 kids. And while some politicians act like tough guys, they're too chicken to stand up to the NRA, who gave Eric Paulson an A-plus rating, along with a check for $20,000. He's working for them, not us. I think any congressman who has an A-plus rating from the NRA has the blood of these children on their hands. NRA, give me an F, because I believe in fighting for kids, not cash. I believe our politicians should show the same courage as the kids, teachers, and first responders showed at Parkland, Sandy Hook, and countless others. It's time for a Congress that fights and runs towards danger and not away from it. Join me at JenningsForCongress.com. Thank you.
Paid for by Adam Jennings for Congress. With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for light snow throughout today with a high near 34. Tonight cloudy with a low around 24. Wednesday partly sunny with a high near 40. And Thursday mostly sunny with a high around 46.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday at the Healthy Sports Center in Woodbury. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only in Woodbury. It's the smart place to start your home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Reminder, the Easter Brunch Buffet is coming up over at the Park Tavern. 10 until 3 at Park Tavern. You can stop on in and get their great brunch. They got the slow roasted beef. They've got the ham, all the biscuits and the gravy, all the great sides. Dessert, hour of bowling with every reservation. So a lot of fun. It is an institution. We've done it so many years. We just love doing it. If you get a chance to go over there, it is just top notch. It is the Park Tavern Easter Brunch Buffet, which is on April Fool's Day. No joke. It is on April 1st this year. So stop on out. Get your reservations now. And you will need reservations. But no matter the size of crew you've got, I mean, there are some of these people, these groups that come in are 30 and plus. So if you've got a big crew, Park Tavern will take care of you. So go to parktavern.net. That's parktavern.net. Or just stop on out. It's on Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. 952-946-6205. By the way, if someone does know who, if it was a Republican on the committee who yelled "in our beds," when someone said, "How do you guys sleep at night?" they yelled "in our beds" after they voted for guns over kids' lives. That I want to know who that is. So if you know who it is, you can go to Twitter, Matt McNeil Show, and let me know. Please, I want to find out who this person is because, yeah, I'll see if they want to do an interview. I'd love to have them come on the air. My gut feeling is if it was someone in the audience, it was probably the one gun guy, the gun industry guy that was there as he was frantically probably scribbling out checks to thank you checks to everyone on the committee. But probably was, you know, he was the one that was probably screaming that. I don't know. I'd love to find out who it was. Completely just a theory, a hypothetical, just guessing. I'm just guessing at this point. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor has been charged with murder and manslaughter charges in the July shooting death of Justine Damon. Noor is charged with third-degree murder, perpetrating immensely dangerous act and evincing depraved mind and second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence creating unreasonable risk. County Attorney Mike Freeman announced at 2:30 p.m. a news conference on Tuesday to discuss the case, which drew international attention and led to the ouster of former police chief Jeanne Harteau. Noor was booked in Hennepin County at 11:16 a.m., according to jail records, on a Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension warrant for third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. Bail was set at $500,000. Damon, 40, was a native of Australia, was shot and killed July 15th after calling police to report a possible assault behind her South Minneapolis home. Noor was in the passenger seat and fired across his partner, Matthew Harity, killing Damon. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman said he would decide whether to charge Noor in Damon's death but conveyed a grand jury to gather additional evidence. A spokesman for Freeman declined to comment, as did Knorr's attorney Thomas Plunkett. Charges in the case unsealed Tuesday afternoon are consistent with initial information released by BCA investigators that Harity heard a sound coming from behind the vehicle before Knorr fired, striking DeMond. They reveal more details as to what happened that night. Harity and Knorr arrived in the alley behind DeMond's home at 50th and Xerxes Avenue. Their headlights were off and the computer screens dimmed, but the spotlight was on. Harity, who is not wearing his seatbelt, removed his safety hood off the holster over his gun before turning into the alley. Harity said he heard what he believed to be a dog before reaching the rear of DeMond's house at 5024 Washburn, but did not get out of the car to investigate. He did not hear other noises. The squad car slowed to 2 miles per hour, but never stopped. As the squad neared the end of the alley at 51st Street, nearly 2 minutes after arriving, Knorr entered code 4 into the squad computer, indicating they were safe and needed no assistance. Neither officer's cameras were on at the time of the shooting, but both turned them on immediately afterwards. Harity began CPR with Knorr taking over afterwards. Paramedics arrived at 11:49, but DeMond died on the scene of a single gunshot wound to the abdomen. While Knorr was declined to give a statement, Harity later said that before the shooting, he and Knorr had cleared the call and were at the end of the alley waiting for a bicyclist to pass. Harity had replaced the safety hood on his holster. Knorr had cleared the call on the computer. 5 to 10 seconds later, Harity heard a voice, a thump somewhere behind him on the squad car, and caught a glimpse of a person's head and shoulders outside his window. Charges said he was not able to articulate what the noise was or how loud it was, what the person's voice sounded like, or what the person said. He characterized it as a muffled voice or whisper. He estimated the person was 2 feet away and couldn't see the hands or weapons. Officer Harity said he was startled and said, "Oh, blank," or "Oh, Jesus." He said he perceived that his life was in danger, reached for his gun, unholstered it, and held it in his rib cage while pointing it downward. He said from the driver's seat, he had a better vantage point to determine the threat than Officer Knorr would have had from the passenger seat. Harity then heard a sound that sounded like a light bulb dropping on the floor and saw a flash. After first checking to see if he'd been shot, he looked right and saw Knorr had his arm extended towards Harity but not see a gun. Then he looked out the window and saw DeMond, who put her hands on the gunshot wound on the left side of her abdomen and said, "I'm dying, I'm dead," charges said. Officer Harity said that once he saw the woman's hands, he believed her to no longer be a threat and got out of the quad car. Knorr got out, still armed, and Harity told him to reholster his gun, turn his body camera on. There was no evidence that Officer Knorr encountered, appreciated, or investigated, or confirmed a threat that justified the decision of a use of deadly force, charges said. Instead, Officer Knorr recklessly and intentionally fired his handguard from the passenger seat, a location which he said would have been less than able than Officer Harity to see and hear events on the other side of the car. So, this has been an interesting case because, frankly, we should be prosecuting. I mean, I don't know why you're not installing a grand jury every time there is a clearly an unjustified police shooting. Whether that's a Philando Castile or Jamar Clark, I don't know why we're not installing grand juries every time. But I mean, if you know, you're dotting I's and crossing T's, I think that should be the standard, that we should review these things and have a very public review of these situations. But that being said, I think that this whole case is an interesting going to be an interesting fight, I think. The fight is between the clear systemic racism which is involved in the justice system in this city and in this state versus the undeniable right to kill if you have a badge that we have created in this state. From what I just read there, my guess is Knorr is going to be found not guilty. Because remember, thanks to the Republicans, the state standard is, "I was scared. I was scared of a Wyzetta-looking suburban woman who was coming up in her PJs and I had to shoot her." And that's good enough. That's good enough for, we have determined that is all the justification we need in this state for a police officer to gun down an Australian woman. That is, we've determined this. The insanity of it all. the lack of oversight, the lack of responsibility that we have created in these cases. On the other side of it, I said this before when she was tragically killed. It's going to be really interesting to see if this is finally the case, considering the officer that fired the weapon was African-American, Somali-American for that matter. And it makes it a lot easier, frankly, in the judicial system that we have to press charges if the perpetrator is black. In the same sense as we convicted Jamar Clark of basically getting tackled by some cop justifiably enough to get shot and killed on the side of the street in North Minneapolis because he was black. Philando Castile was trying to tell an officer, I have a carry and conceal weapon, and the officer freaked out and blasted a few holes in the guy, almost hitting a kid in the back seat. Why? Because he was black. Because he was black. So it was going to be interesting to figure out what the standard was going to be. Were we going to have the usual surround the wagons and no police officer's ever done anything ever bad ever? Or were we going to have a case where, hey, you know what? Even though we have that police officer's never do anything bad, this guy's black. So we are going to throw him to the trial. We'll throw him. I guarantee you there is going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on Noor to settle this case. And the reason why is that because of state law and what we have learned from other cases, the reality is because state law says police officers can murder someone legally just because they say, I was scared. I mean, the police law, seriously, we've talked about this numerous times. A police officer could be off duty, drunk as a skunk, getting into a fight in a bar, get kicked out of the bar, drive drunk home, get their service weapon, drive drunk back to the bar, storm in the door, and shoot a guy in the middle of the floor in cold blood. I'd say there's a 50-50 chance he's going to be found guilty. Because all he has to say is, I thought he had a gun, and I'm a police officer. So, hence, I'm innocent. I mean, Philando Castile, the guy is telling, I mean, once again, that jury was the most incompetent jury I've ever seen in my entire goddamn life. I have never seen a jury look and say, officer, I have a carry and conceal weapon. I've got a license for it. Blam, 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 blam. Well, he sure deserved that for having a legal firearm. Now, this is going to be, we'll find out the real power here. Is racism the real power within the justice system? Or is it the fact that the police officers are basically without, to be held without account, that they can basically do whatever they want and no one will ever hold them accountable? I don't know. The reality is, because my standards have been pretty much the same since the beginning, Muhammad Noor killed that woman. He gunned her down. And isn't police training supposed to teach you how to evaluate a situation? All right, how about I'll ask the question. You get a call about a potential sexual assault in the alley behind 50th and Xerxes, and you don't once get out of the car? You don't once get out of the vehicle? I thought drive-by shootings were for gangs, not for the police. Once again, not only have we given police officers the ability to kill at will, we don't train them for anything anymore, apparently. We don't. Matt, how dare you? You don't know. Yeah, okay. I was military combat. I can tell you this right now. If I was on the battlefield and I looked out and I saw a suburban housewife who looked like she was from Wayzata in pajamas, I don't think that would have been my first target. But the way that the laws have been written, thanks to the Republican Party, is good kill. Justine DeMond is a good kill because reasons. Because Police have the right to kill anyone they want to. That's the saddest part about this whole story. This woman did nothing wrong. She did nothing wrong. She called the police to report a crime and ends up getting shot. Clearly because of a lack of training. All the officers in Jamar Clark's case, in Philando Castile's case, and in Justine DeMond's case, they all should have been prosecuted, and they all probably should have gone to jail. At the end of the day, I don't think Noor is going to go to jail. It's just sad. And it's going to continue this way. I mean, I guess the only way we'll ever get these laws fixed is that if some police officer shoots a three-year-old in the head and says, well, I didn't know who they were. I thought they were a bad guy. And then maybe we'll just say, well, should we really give that kind of authority and power? Because no one seems, I mean, when you talk about holding police officers to training standards or screening standards, making sure that they are worthy of even holding the gun and the badge in the first place. What's the first thing that happens? How dare you? No. Proud moment, Minneapolis. Proud moment indeed. I'm so damn tired of these stories. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hunter, I think I might send you out to go get that free ice cream cone, all right? It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What could be more Russian than Matryoshka, the nesting doll? I welcome you to see one of the largest collection of Matryoshka in the world, now on display at the Museum of Russian Art. A stunning range of sizes, types, and eras are represented, showing how this iconic souvenir has evolved over the last 120 years. Our thanks to Target for sponsoring this extraordinary exhibition, open daily. Find out about all our exhibitions and events at tmora.org, that is tmora.org.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running April 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. When you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Look at how in the hell did we get to this point? Kids gunned down in schools constantly, and the politicians basically worship the guns. I mean, once again, Second Amendment of the Constitution does not say assault weapons should be available to everyone. It does not say that you can't do background checks. It does not say that, you know, you basically have to allow, you know, people that have been mentally compromised to have as many guns as possible. Does not say that you have to allow 12-year-olds to have a gun. It doesn't say teachers have to have guns. Doesn't say any of that. You can have, once again, hunting weapons, sure. Personal defense pistols, I disagree with them, but if the person wants to have one, fine. But God forbid you actually want to stop the flood of assault weapons on the streets. And then you see that the Republican Party of Minnesota, their big goal is to protect the guns at all expenses. At all expense. It's just, and then not only that, but someone in that committee hearing, whether it was on the committee or a Republican jackass in the audience sitting there screaming when someone says, how do you guys sleep at night? Said, in my bed, I don't care about dead kids because I just made a funny. And then you have our police department who have lobbied to get the right to shoot and kill anyone they want to. And the problem is that they have convinced themselves that everyone is a terrorist. Everyone is a hardened criminal. Everyone is going to kill as many people as possible. So, you know, just shoot anyone. Shoot anyone! Why not? One officer tries to do the San Diego maneuver on Jamar Clark, ends up screwing it up. And then they basically say he was saying he was ready to die. Yeah, that makes no sense. So, okay, sure. Well, yeah, no charges. No charges. Philando Castile, hands on the steering wheel, hands up. I've got a license to carry a weapon. Now, at no point does these police officers, this crack unit of police, say to themselves, well, if you've got a license to carry and you just told us this, yeah, the likelihood you're going to try to shoot us is probably pretty slim. All right, officer, do you realize your back tail light's out? No. All right. Well, here we're going to give you a summons. You got to get that fixed. Okay, thank you very much. Nope, that's not how it went. Officer, I'll let you know I've got a carry and conceal weapon. Bang, 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 bang. Ah! And because everyone from the judge to the prosecution to the jury was an incompetent bunch of fools, officer walks away free. But now, we'll have to see what happens. In a normal world, the officer will be held accountable. I have to admit, part of me is like, are we really going to have the first time a police officer is held accountable for shooting an innocent in the streets of Minneapolis only because he's a Somali American? Is that really the only way that we're going to ever get justice for this stuff? Is that really what we're at? And maybe it is. Maybe it is. I'm getting the strong suspicion that the police department is fighting hard to say, nope, that was a justified kill. And they don't care. Suburban housewife living on 50th and Xerxes. 50th and Xerxes. And don't even ask questions. Don't even look to who you're seeing. You've convinced yourself it's the boogeyman. It's an Australian 40-year-old woman who called you to say that something was going on. And you guys didn't even get out of your damn car to inspect what was going on. You just drove through, cruising the neighborhood. Yeah, crack unit there. But I still think, considering the state laws, my guess is going to be that he's going to be found not guilty. Because, like I said, pretty much any police officer in this state can kill anyone they want to. And as long as they say, I was scared or I thought there was a gun. Well, there's nothing anyone can do about it. And trust me, no one wants anything to do with it. No one wants anything to do with it. Sad day indeed. I think I am going to go get that ice cream. I think I need something. Ugh, God. Mike McEntee is up next. Obviously, once again, a huge news day. Stay with us here. By the way, his Arne Carlson interview yesterday was exceptional. Mike's up next. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.